There's somebody that's going to come and talk about an experience she had. I'm going to ask Jonica to come on up. Let me kind of set the stage. We gave each of the kids or each person on the trip, come on up, Jonica, a dollar bill. And we said, take this dollar and find somebody to bless. Maybe it's the person who cleans the hotel. Maybe it's the waitress, whoever. Just find somebody to bless. But anyway, Jonica took this to another level, and she is here to tell her story. And this is Jonica. Thank you.
Thank you. It's been a long time since I've been on the stage. So as you know, we went to Lancaster to see the story of Esther, and we were each given a dollar to give to someone to bless them. But a dollar is not that much nowadays, so I added $10 to it, so it was $11. And during intermission at the show, the theater, me and Landon were in line to get some snacks, and a woman behind us, she was foreign, she was probably not from here, and she had three daughters. And I turned around to her, and I said, do you have money for the snacks? And she said, yeah, you need some? And I said, no. I gave her the $11 and said, well, this might help you out with it. And she was like, no, you don't have to do that. We're good, we have money for it. And I said, no, you have three daughters and I just wanted to bless someone with $11. And she brought her three daughters over to thank me, which was really sweet. And then it was when it was my turn to say my snacks, I was like getting a sandwich and trail mix and cookies and like the total was like $25, $20, I don't know. But a man came over and was like, excuse me. So I moved to the side a little bit because I thought maybe he forgot something. And he said to me, I seen what you did when you gave the woman some money. And it made me really happy, so I wanted to pay for whatever you get. And I was pretty shocked, and he pointed to Landon and said, is this guy with you? And I said, yes. He said, get two cookies, one for him too. So he ended up paying I think it was $22 total for me to get some snacks. And I thought that was really sweet.
Thank you, Jonica. I tell you what, that's the kind of life lessons that are precious, aren't they? And Jonica, thank you for your boldness and courage to be generous. And God just blessed her back within just a few minutes. So thank you, Jonica, for sharing that. I came across a story about a couple who were attending a marriage seminar. And the topic was communication. Tom and his wife, Grace, listened to the instructor, and the person said, it's essential that husbands and wives know each other's likes and dislikes. And so he addressed the man. He said, can you name your wife's favorite flower? Tom leaned over to his wife, touched her arm gently, and whispered, it's Pillsbury, isn't it? I'm glad Myron liked it. That's good.
True story.
True story. You know, as we begin the month of July and the summer season, as I prayed about what to speak on this morning, the title of the message is A New Thing. A New Thing. It's taken from the book of Isaiah, but I want to talk about what it means to get something new. You know, when you get a new car, or even a used one, there's something about a new car smell that just kind of is fun. I mean, you can smell the leather and there's a sense of energy you get from that. Or if you get a new outfit, you know, you get something nice from the store and you put it on and you feel real good about it. And or how about a new job? There's a sense of excitement that comes from a new workplace. Or if you move to a new house or a new apartment, there's something about getting something new. And today I want to talk about a new thing that God would want to do in your life today. Our text is Isaiah 43. The verses are in your notes, and I'd like for you to read those with me. Let's read it together. Verses 16 through 19. This is what the Lord says. He who made a way through the sea, a path through the mighty waters, who drew out the chariots and the horses, the army and the reinforcements together, and they lay there, never to rise again, extinguished, snuffed out like a wick. Forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. See, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? In this text, Isaiah is talking about when the children of Israel crossed through the Red Sea and God parted the waters. They went across on dry ground. The Egyptians followed and chased the Israelites, and then the waters came upon them, and the word says they were extinguished. They lay there never to rise again. It was an amazing miracle. We talk about it. We refer to it. It's inspirational. But then here's what God says through Isaiah. He says, I want you to forget the former things because I want to do something new. You see, the past is good to remember and to draw courage from. It's like reference point, but there comes a time where we cannot live in the past. We have to look for God to do the new thing. And he says, it springs up. Do you not perceive it? In other words, you and I have to have an eye for it. We got to look for it and have faith in expectation of the new thing that God wants to do in each of our lives. You see, he can do a new thing at any time. It makes no difference what our age is, what our education level is, where we live. If God finds a heart who is open to the new thing, somehow, some way, he can do something and just bring about new aliveness within us. I find in my life, there's seasons in life where I get a little bit dry and it seems like a kind of a routine and a sense of boredom. But then when he does something new, here's what happens. You and I become alive on the inside. It's a new thing. Now, in the book of Lamentations, the writer says, because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. Here's what I want to do in connecting these two texts. The word new is the same word in both places, in Isaiah and Lamentations. And the writer in Lamentations says, because of God's compassions, he says they are new every morning. Do you realize the new thing is a possibility every day? You know why? God is the author of newness, of change, of invigoration, of energy. And he can somehow spark aliveness in us when we hit a place in our life where it's dry or we're parched and we don't see a way out. Let me give you a definition of new thing. It's real simple. In your notes, a new thing is a fresh work of grace in your life. The word new, it means fresh in both places. And so I want to talk about God doing something fresh, something new that brings aliveness into your life. I thought about different categories where we need to maybe become alive or we need to have something new take place. There are so many, but I want to share four this morning. And I hope that in one of these four areas, you find yourself. And you say, you know what? I need newness in that area. And so let's just walk through these four things. And what new thing would God want to do for you? Number one. The first new thing that God can do for anyone is he can make a way in the wilderness. God can make a way in the wilderness. Isaiah says, I will even make a way in the wilderness. That is God speaking through him. We know the story that the children of Israel spent 38 to 40 years walking around the wilderness because of unbelief. They got stuck. And because they didn't believe God for the promised land, they ended up, God judged them, and they ended up marching around the promised land for 40 years until they all died off, and the next generation was raised up. You know what the wilderness is? It's a place of confusion. You can be a believer and still be in the wilderness. We can be out of Egypt. In other words, we trust Christ as our Savior, and yet we still at times can feel like we're in the wilderness. I'm not sure of where I'm headed or what I'm doing. We all experience those times. But here's what God says through Isaiah. He says, I can make a way in the wilderness. You might be here today, and you might be in the wilderness. It's kind of confusing. And here's a, you go ahead, Jonica, you can put that quote up. You cannot operate in the promised land with a wilderness mentality. You know what that means? We have to believe that if we're in that place where we are stuck, that God has a way out. Because God honors faith from any person who believes him for the impossible. If you are in the middle of that zone of confusion, this place of wow, I don't know the next step, let me tell you, believe God has a way out. You know why? His word says that. He can make a way out of that wilderness. In 1 Corinthians 10, Paul wrote, God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear, but when you are tempted or tested, he will also provide a way out so that you can stand up under it. Here's the key thought, point number one. If you're in the wilderness this morning, this place of maybe some confusion, you say, God, what's going on in my life? He is looking for faith in your heart that there's a way forward. You just haven't seen it yet. But he will always honor any person who believes in the midst of the worst that God has a way going forward. That's point number one. Number two, the second thing that God can do in making a new thing is he can turn darkness into light. Darkness into light. Read with me verse 16 in your notes from Isaiah 42. I will lead the blind by ways they have not known. Along unfamiliar paths, I will guide them. I will turn the darkness into light before them. I want to talk about darkness in relation to depression. Many Americans, we all of us at some time, we feel depressed. It's this sense of emotional lowness. Even the psalmist, David and others, felt a sense of emotional lowness or depression at times. We all go through it. But the key is, how do we respond to it? Because the writer here says that God can turn darkness into light. Psalm 119 says, verse 105, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light for my path. You see, the word of God can bring light when we are in a season of darkness. Many of you remember the story about Robin Williams. August 13, 2014, the world woke up to the shocking news that this king of comedy, Robin Williams, who made so many people laugh, smile through the years, he had like a global audience, that he had taken his life due to severe depression. We don't know what was going on inside him, but we do know there must have been something. While his face would, he could light up with a happy smile, down deep inside, there was something else going on. You see, we can look at each other today and smile at one another, and we think everything is good. I mean, the person can look good. But you never know the deeper story in someone else's life. There's a psychiatrist in England from years ago who had a patient come in. The patient was suffering from severe depression. And so the doctor gave the patient a prescription. He said, go entertain yourself by seeing the famous clown Grimaldi performing in the circus in the town today. His antics are bound to make you laugh. You will surely find some relief by listening to this guy. Instantly, the patient broke down, and to the astonishment of the doctor, the patient said, Doc, I am Grimaldi. Isaiah says, when we go to Jesus, who is our doctor, when we go to God the Father, he is the one that can take our darkness and turn it into life. If you're here today and you're in that season of darkness or depression, I want you to be encouraged when the psalmist says that the word of God is a light unto our path, a lamp unto our feet. He can turn darkness into light. We just have to believe that. Number three, the third truth or the new thing that God can do is this. He gives freedom for the captives. God can give freedom to people who are enslaved. Read with me Isaiah 61:1 in your notes. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives. This is a promise from God to anyone who's a prisoner inside themselves. You know, we all are in some areas, aren't we? I am. Things I'm working on where I feel like it owns me rather than I owning it and knowing freedom. But Isaiah says, when Christ came, you know what he came for? Freedom for your heart and my heart. Now, the issue is we got to go to battle to win it. We got to believe. We got to keep trusting and say, God, I need freedom from that which I'm a prisoner of inside myself. Came across a couple quotes which I thought were really good. Here's the first one. We all make mistakes, don't we? But if you can't forgive yourself, you'll always be an exile in your own life. What I found over the years is the hardest person to forgive is myself. For whatever reason, it was the way I was raised. If somebody does me wrong, it may take me a while, but I can work through that pretty good. But when I wrong myself, that's a whole other story. You may be here today, and your new thing that God wants to do in your life is to bring freedom into it. That's his purpose, his mission. And it takes us being willing to forgive ourselves. I want you to do an internal inventory. It only takes a second or two. You say, is there anything in your life today you have not forgiven yourself for? Or you tried, but it's still there. And there's still work to be done. You know why? God wants to bring freedom into your life. And it means you and I being willing, through the grace of God, to forgive ourselves. It's his new thing for you. Here's one more quote. Forgiving isn't something you do for someone else. It's something you do for yourself. Maybe it's forgiving someone else. Sometimes that's harder for some people than it is forgiving themselves. Others, it's the other way around. But here's the point. The new thing, the message God wants you to hear this morning is you may be in a place in your own heart where you're a prisoner, either to someone else because of what you're hanging on to toward them, or you're a prisoner and you're in exile to a degree of your own life because you haven't forgiven yourself. God's word says, Jesus came to bring freedom to people who are captive and prisoners in their own life. And finally, number four. The last thing I wanted to share was the new thing is that God can turn parched ground into springs. Parched grounds into springs. Let's read together Isaiah 41, 18 in your notes. I will make rivers flow on barren heights, in springs within the valleys. I will turn the desert into pools of water and parched ground into springs. Here is the promise. God can take a desert, parched ground, dry, crusty, and he can turn it into pools of water or into a spring. I thought about relationships in this category. Maybe it's a marriage. Maybe it's just a relationship with another person. And right now, it is parched ground. You know what that means? It's not working very well. It's dry and crusty. There's not a sense of smoothness and oil where life just flows, but rather it's the exact opposite. And Isaiah is saying the new thing that God can do for people who are on parched ground, he can turn it into a spring where this spring feeds the relationship. There's health and wholeness and a sense of aliveness. There's excitement. And the new thing that God wants to do for us all in the area of relationships is just that. I read something by Dr. Neil Warren. I guess he's connected to the eHarmony. But here's what he wrote. He says, my years as a psychologist have slowly taught me a difficult to believe fact. Here's what he says. The amount of conflict in a marriage only determines the speed at which the marriage is moving towards greatness or towards destruction. If you want to sit still in your marriage, rule out all conflict. Now, here's the key thought. If you want your marriage to crash and burn, let the conflict rage, but refuse to learn the skills necessary for managing it. Here's the key thought. Well-managed conflict is a stairway that can lead you to higher and higher levels of marital greatness. It's not the absence of conflict. We will have conflict in any relationship. You know what the secret is? The skills to navigate the conflict, and it takes a relationship to a higher level. The conflicts will send it one way or the other. It will make us crash and burn, or it will raise us up to a higher level of satisfaction and connection with the other person. You know what he's saying? When we learn skills to navigate conflict, God will take parched ground, that which is dry and crusty, and he will turn it into pools of living water. Maybe your new thing is in a relationship category where you say, God, I'm kind of dried out. We're kind of in a tough spot. I need you to come in and bring into it springs of living water and make it something new and fresh and alive. God does that. He specializes in it. So four simple thoughts about a new thing. Quick review. He can make a way in the wilderness. If you're here in that wilderness, you just have to believe there is a way. He will show you how to get through it. Number two, he can turn darkness into life. If you're in a place of depression or sadness, God says, wait a minute, look to him and he can turn it by his word and as you trust and believe. Number three, wow, freedom for the captives. Maybe you're here and you need to forgive somebody or forgive yourself. You know why? He wants to give you freedom. And number four, if you're in a parched ground place in life, whether it's a marriage or just in a relationship with other people, God can turn that and bring springs of living water into your life. Here's the final slide. I'll have Jonica put up there. We said that the new thing is a fresh work of grace in your life. We're going to take communion in just a few moments, but here's what I want you to do. I want you to look into your heart. And we're going to take just a moment of prayer, and I want you to evaluate where you're at, and I want you to know that God is speaking to everybody here to do a new thing. We just have to allow him to do it. So before Pastor Jack comes to lead us in our communion ritual, would you please bow your head and hearts with me? And I just want to walk through these. Do you need a way in your wilderness? I want you to lift up faith. Are you in darkness? Believe the word of God that says he can turn it into light. He can lift us out of the depression we are in. Do you need freedom on the inside? Twofold question. Is there anybody you need to forgive? They wronged you and they may be totally in the wrong. But you forgive not for them, you do it for yourself because that'll set you free. So do you need to forgive anybody? But here's the other question. Do you need to forgive yourself? I believe there's people here today that God's message to you is about a new thing, but it involves you being willing to receive grace, a fresh work of it, to forgive and let go of something in your past. Just say, God, help me with that right now. The last one is parched ground. Could be a marriage, could be just a friendship, relationship. It's dry, it's crusty, it's not working. Call out to God and say, God, help me to own my part of it, but turn it into springs of living water. Just ask him to do that. Receive it. Believe him for his grace. It's a new thing. And now as I just wrap up in prayer, I'm going to lead us in a simple prayer. You can pray silently if you want to. Father in heaven, thank you for your love for me. I confess I need you. Forgive me of my sins, of trying to do life on my own. I believe that Jesus died on a cross and rose again the third day, and he lives forevermore. And right now, by faith, I open the door of my heart. And I invite Jesus Christ into my life. I ask him to be my Savior. I ask him to be my Lord. I ask him to do a new thing in me today, this service, this moment, so I'll be different as I go forth today. And for this, I'll give you thanks. In Jesus' name, amen.